Hello and welcome back to our series on Universalism. This is number 13. We're talking about Peter for the third time, and then also James and Jude. They all agree, by the way, not all will be saved. 1 Peter 4, verses 17 and 18, Peter tells us to expect the church to be judged. He implies, though, that there is no comparison between our judgment and the judgment of those who do not obey the gospel. Righteous people will hardly be saved. Ungodly people will not appear in that city at all. 2 Peter 2 and Jude, and there's a huge similarity between the writings of Peter here in 2 Peter 2 and Jude, the half-brother of Jesus. Both of them sound one of the most serious notes of Scripture regarding those spreading lies about the gospel. False teachers are to perish utterly in their own corruption. They are accursed children. The gloom of darkness is reserved for them, and it says forever. They've been marked out for this condemnation. God will execute judgment on these ungodly men. Now, does it sound to you that after all of this, God will finally say to them, you know, maybe we can work this thing out? I think not. To be saved from their fate, says Jude, is to be rescued from the fire. And that's the consistent message of God's word on this subject. And we need to be rescuing people, even this day, pulling them out of the fire. 2 Peter 3, verses 7 to 9. Our world is headed for a baptism of fire, the fire of destruction and judgment. All the ungodly will be judged and lost. But Peter adds that God's waiting a long time for this. He's giving his church the time to get out and do their job. He's giving the lost a chance to hear and believe. Why? Because he really wants everyone to be saved. He really wants everyone to repent. The damnation of the wicked gives him no pleasure, but so it must be. Does God always get his way? Absolutely not. Abortion and homosexuality are rampant in my country. Rape and murder abound. Poverty and sickness are everywhere. Are these God's will? Of course not. But they're here anyway. So when Peter tells us that God does not want anyone to be lost, he's not saying that therefore no one will be lost. He's communicating the great love of God for us, the love that sent Jesus to Calvary, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. But those who do not believe will suffer eternal loss. His word cannot change. He cannot lie. He will judge the ungodly. And in Acts 15, a word from Brother James. Now, by this time in the book of Acts, the apostle James has been martyred by Herod. The James that's mentioned here is the half-brother of Jesus, brother of Jude or Judas. He became a leader in the first Jerusalem church and is here giving some advice to Peter and Paul about how to deal with Gentiles. In doing so, he says some things that could set off a universalist. Actually, it's a quote from the prophet Amos, chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. Amos says that one day the tabernacle of David will be restored so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, especially those Gentiles who are called by his name. James says that since they're Gentiles turning to the Lord, we Jews better leave them alone. This is the beginning of what God said would happen in Amos. And what the universalists want to do, they want to grab from that passage the portion which reads, all the Gentiles who are called by my name. And they're thinking the who is not there. They would read it, all the Gentiles are called by my name. That's not true. Simple reading of text and context assures us that it's not every Gentile, but a select group that comes out for the Jewish Messiah. Well, Jesus and Peter and James and Jude all agree But not everybody's going to be saved. That leaves for us the words of Paul and John, which encompass the rest of the New Testament. Will they follow suit? I want you to come back and check that out with me as the days go by. Lord willing, I'll come back soon and we'll talk about some of the words of Paul. God bless you today. Bye-bye.